WTLC AM Indianapolis.
Indy's choice for inspiration and praise.
AM 1310, The Light.
Welcome to the second half of Afternoons with Amos. I'm Amos Brown. Glad to have you here. Literally, 2 to 3 weeks after he took the oath of office as governor of Indiana, Mike Pence began trying to convince the federal government. I think this was even before the Supreme Court said that the Affordable Care Act was the legal law of the land and they signed off on it. He wanted Medicaid expansion to be something different. And then there was an agreement reached with hospitals across the state as a way to figure out how to pay for it, how it wouldn't cost individual Indiana taxpayers a whole lot of money, and cigarette smokers and hospitals would pay the cost of Medicaid expansion under the Healthy Indiana plan. And then there were a whole lot of conversations, both in Washington with Indiana folks sitting down with people from the Department of Health and Human Services, the governor meeting with former HHS Secretary Sebelius, and meeting with the current HHS Secretary Sylvia Burwell, even a spirited conversation in an airport with the President of the United States, and then finally the President of the United States, you know he had to sign off on it, signed off for his Department of HHS to give Indiana what they wanted. And this was something that was agreed to on a bipartisan basis by not only the governor, but both Democratic and Republican leaders in the legislature. And now it is, in effect, Medicaid expansion in Indiana. It's different than in some states, and some would say radical in terms of what other states are doing, and maybe radical in a positive way. From the governor's office, some of the folks who actually were in some of the long negotiations with federal officials, Sina Verma and Brian Neal. Guys, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having us on the show.
I should first say congratulations, because I think there were a lot of people that looked, okay, this is a Republican governor, this is a Democratic administration, there is no way in goodness green earth that this is going to happen. But it seemed that the governor was persistent. Federal officials were respectful in terms of continuing the conversation. I don't gather that at any time either side walked away from the table and acted like the New England Patriots. And we came... an agreement was created that benefits Hoosiers. Is that fair to say?
That is fair to say. We're very excited to be offering some new health insurance options for low-income Hoosiers starting February 1st. That's Sunday. We reached an agreement with the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services actually on Friday, last Friday at 5 o'clock, and started converting members into the program. And we are ready to take applications for everyone who's eligible, and this would include 350,000 currently uninsured Hoosiers between 22% and 100% of the federal poverty level. So we're very excited today to be offering these options.
Let me kind of walk people through, because there's probably people listening that either are on Medicaid or know someone that's on Medicaid, or maybe there's people that are already in the application pipeline for Medicaid. So let's start with those individuals who are on Medicaid. So let me kind of, because I think there's, for individuals, let me start with moms and kids. So moms and kids who are on Medicaid, or those kids are on Hoosier Healthwise, which is kind of like the Medicaid for kids. What happens to them?
Absolutely nothing. Their benefits and their program continues absolutely as the way it has been. So there are no changes for our pregnant women or children. In addition, also for our age, blind, and disabled population, there will be no changes for that group.
No changes for that group. So moms and their kids, they're cool. Those who are disabled, whether physically disabled, mentally disabled, they're cool. I know there is a provision in this policy for those who are on Medicaid, because Medicaid is based on income, who are able-bodied. What happens to them?
So for those individuals, fortunately, they will get to now participate in our Healthy Indiana plan. We've been sending out letters. I think people may be receiving letters even today. And we will be converting them into HIP 2.0 starting February 1st.
We're going to talk about what HIP 2.0 is in a minute. But traditional Medicaid in Indiana will now, moving forward, be for the disabled, which would include a blindness, hearing disorders, and other infirmaries, moms and their kids. That is traditional Medicaid. Is that correct?
That's correct. And if you kind of look back in the history of the Medicaid program, that's traditionally the population that it served. I think, in recent years, that's been expanded to include an able-bodied population, and so HIP 2.0 recognizes that and provides options that are more appropriate for that population.
Now, HIP 2.0 is, what's the difference between it and the folks that were currently on the Healthy Indiana plan right now?
So those who are on the current Healthy Indiana plan will be able to receive an insurance option that's very much like what they have today. In fact, the amount of a payment that is required, or we call them contributions to a power account. It operates like a health savings account. Those contribution amounts will stay the same. What's new, though, is that if individuals do make those contribution amounts regularly, then they will be able to receive new benefits. So they'll get vision and dental benefits that they didn't otherwise receive.
Let me go to the word contribution amount.
Yes.
Because that, when I look in my health care plan, I don't see that word. I see a word that's called what is taken out of my check by my employer every check. That's a contribution. Is that like paying the premium, like I would be paying a premium on a health insurance policy or an auto policy?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question, Amos, because that's really what sets the Health Indiana plan apart from traditional Medicaid. And honestly, what sets Indiana apart from many other states. We are in Indiana pioneers in what is known as consumer-driven healthcare. Mm-hmm. And there's a big difference between paying a premium each month, and I know you pay your premiums regularly, Amos, and that's a set amount. You don't ever get that money back.
Mm-hmm.
But under the consumer-driven model, if you manage your healthcare spending judiciously, then any money that's left over in that account comes back to you. So there's a sense of ownership over those dollars that you put into the program.
So somebody that participates in HIP 2.0 or HIP Plus, and they're making that, you call it a contribution, I call it a premium. How would they get the dollars back?
So
it sounds like I think we have that option in our healthcare, and they have some other fancy name for it. And does that mean if you don't use it, or if you don't have to go to the doctor and everything is healthy, and you got $200 left in this fund at the end of the year, that comes back to you?
Correct. So it's like a traditional health savings account.
Okay, that's what I meant, health savings
account. It's like a health savings account. So the state is putting some money into the account, and the individual's contributions go into this account. And the health insurance companies that are managing this, when the provider submits their bill, they use this account to pay those bills.
I see.
Up for the first $2,500 worth of services.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of the year, if there's anything left over, they sort of put that, there's that pro rata share, whatever the individual share that's left, they have that ability to roll over the dollars that are in the account to offset what they're going to owe in the following year. And they get to do that rollover if they've completed their preventative health care services.
All right.
239 they can roll over a greater share of what's left.
239-1310. 239-1310, or send me an email at praiseindia.com, or a text message at 37890. Use the keyword Amos. 37890, keyword Amos. Let me start with Dorothy. Hi, Dorothy.
Thank you so much. Does this include all the seniors that are on Medicaid and the food stamps?
That's a great question. First of all, this is not Medicare.
Correct.
Is that correct? Can you make sure this is not Medicare, right?
Yeah, it is not Medicare.
So now Dorothy is asking if there are seniors that are on some kind of Medicaid.
Correct.
And I thought you're not supposed to be on Medicaid if you're on Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
How does all that going to work?
Sure. Well, we do have some seniors that are participating in the Medicare program and in the Medicaid program.
Okay.
So we do have that. And the changes that we're having – And the expansion of the HIP program will not affect these seniors.
So this is the other Medicaid exception that went back to moms and their kids and those that are disabled.
Age.
This also includes our seniors.
Correct.
Who are on Medicare and Medicaid.
Yes, we refer to them as dually eligible.
Dually eligible.
For both programs, correct.
All right. 239-1310. There's a little knob. There you go. 239-1310. Hopefully that answered Dorothy's question. Now, a couple of the other things. Before, Medicaid was only for people that were at the federal, at 100% of the federal poverty level. It's correct. I'm understanding that. And if you were over the poverty level, you weren't eligible for Medicaid, or you were. I always get confused.
So individuals that were above the poverty level were eligible for tax credits in the marketplaces.
Right.
And people that were below 100%, they were eligible for our HIP program, but we only had a certain number of people that we could cover. So we were only covering in the HIP program today 60,000 individuals. And
so,
now that there's no cap on the program.
So now if I look at the federal poverty guidelines for this year, and a family of four is about $24,250, and if I mark that up by a third, that's like $34,000. So that family could be eligible for the HIP program or a plan in the Affordable Care Act, depending on what's best for them.
Well, it's actually an either or situation.
Okay.
And so, before, as Seema mentioned, because we had not expanded our Healthy Indiana plan, that the only options that were available for these individuals were marketplace plans,
mm-hmm.
and those were available for everyone above the poverty line, and actually now that we are going to start coverage in HIP 2.0, those individuals who are in marketplace plans currently will need to actually transfer into the Healthy Indiana plan.
For those that are at that lower income level.
The lower income level of eligibility for the marketplace.
Okay.
So between 100 and 138% of the poverty level.
So somebody that's a family of four between 24 and
32,000
mm-hmm. could be eligible for this, for HIP.
They will be eligible.
They will be eligible for
HIP.
They
will. And I'm really glad you raised this point, Amos, because we're really working hard to try to get to a point where we could expand our program so that individuals would not be subject to any potential tax penalties, and to do that maybe a little bit earlier in the year. But you know, we were able to get the deal done when we did, and now we need to start that process of informing those individuals who are currently in marketplace plans from 100 to 138% of the federal poverty level, inform them that they need to come into the Healthy Indiana plan. And we're going to be doing a lot of outreach to those individuals, because the problem is that if they continue to stay on that marketplace plan, they could be subject to a tax penalty because they're not eligible for that tax credit any longer because they have HIP 2.0 as an option.
What is covered by HIP 2.0? Not so much the medical. Is HIP 2.0, are you restricted to only going to Eskenazi? Can you take this to IU Health? Can you take this to St. Vincent? Let me make sure I get all these right. Can you take it to community? Can you take it to St. Francis? Can you take it to some hospital in Ligoti, somewhere? Is this only for medical facilities in the state of Indiana? What happens if you have HIP 2.0 and you drive to Tennessee and you get hurt and you need to go to the doctor in Tennessee? Are they going to get thrown out of the doctor's office in Tennessee and say, go back to Indiana? How is that part going to work?
Sure.
I guess portability is the term.
So we do have statewide coverage, mm-hmm. and the people that apply for the program have the choice of three health plans,
mm-hmm.
and they can call our phone number, the 1-800-GET-HIP-9.
Oh, that's a HIP number.
It's actually just
1-877-GET-HIP-9. If you call that phone number, they can help you select your health plan. So
right.
if you say, you know, this hospital is important to me, or this is my doctor and I want to make sure that doctor's in my network,
mm-hmm.
they can help you figure out what plan will be best for you in terms of coverage. And so, to answer your question, you know, what happens if you get sick? Obviously, if there's emergency services in another state, the health plan will reimburse those services. Mm-hmm. And, but we do have, you know, there is a network, and so we encourage you to use your network, to make sure we can cover those bills. If it is an emergency and it's out of state, we obviously address that.
The fact that the hospitals of Indiana all got together, they rarely can agree on the price, the time of day, but they all got together for this. Does that encourage that many more doctors will be participating in the Healthy Indiana Plan? Because most of the doctors in the state are affiliated with one or more of the hospital empires.
I think that's fair to say. And, you know, one of the things that this will do in Indiana is it'll encourage individuals to come in and seek primary care services before they get sick, not after. And I think that's one of the things that Governor Pence was really, steadfast about, which is, you know, we want individuals to make those primary care visits. We want them to, seek that preventative care so that their care isn't more expensive when they have a complication.
Just kind of build on that. The other important thing that we've done and that our hospitals have agreed to do is, we're paying the hospital or the providers in the HIP program. We're actually paying them at our Medicare rates or a higher rate.
Mm-hmm.
And even in our base Medicaid program, Governor Pence's negotiations with the hospitals also increased, provided a rate increase for the doctors in the program. And the reason why he did that is he wanted to make sure that people participating in HIP and in the regular Medicaid program had a greater choice of doctors. We wanted to make sure that doctors were attracted to serving our Medicaid beneficiaries. And the more choices they have, we hope that that will increase the quality of care.
In the regular Medicaid program, there aren't the kind of incentives to wellness that private insurers have, the things that if you do this or that, we'll keep your premium down, those kind of things that private insurers are doing. But I understand that in the Healthy Indiana plan, there are incentives to encourage those that are on the plan to do healthier things.
That's right. And Seema mentioned earlier the concept of the rollover. And that's an essential feature of the Healthy Indiana plan. So again, we're talking about these contributions that individuals will make on a monthly basis and the sense of ownership that comes along with those. At the end of the year, if the individuals manage that health savings account judiciously and there's money left over, mm-hmm. and they've completed those preventative care services, that amount, their pro rata share, their share of those dollars will roll over to the next year and decrease the amount that the member will be required to pay in the next year. So it'll decrease their costs in a future year. And so those individuals will have an incentive to make those regular, preventative care visits, and not just because of the financial incentive, but also because it'll be good for their health.
Now, one of the differences in this plan is people are paying something. You know, into it. I called a premium. You all got the governmental term that something else. So what happens if a person gets laid off, they don't have income, or there's something catastrophic in the household, and then income is diverted and they can't pay the bill?
So they can actually come.
Not the hospital. I'm not talking about the hospital bill or the doctor bill, but just the basic premium bill.
So this individual would be able to come to us and say, you know, listen, I'm not able to pick up the same amount of shifts that I was able to last month. My income has gone down. And we can actually, if they call our program, that they'll be able to have that amount, that required contribution amount lowered. So to take into account that change of income. So an individual who maybe was paying, you know, $15 a month, if they lose half their income, then maybe they'll their income or their contribution will go down to about $7 a month.
Let me go to Jerome at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, Amos. Hi. I called in before. I was on here with when Representative Crawford was on here back originally when we were talking about this issue. I was one of the first ones that was on the Healthy Indiana plan after I had a heart attack and was laid off and the company filed bankruptcy. And so I was without a job or insurance, and the Healthy Indiana plan basically saved my life. And I've been on it since the get-go. It's the best insurance I've ever had, and I've had discussions with politicians in this state since then, and it's always been about politics. And thank God this thing has finally gotten through, and other people can get it, which they should have had a long time ago. This is about personal responsibility. And my premium is $79 a year, and I don't make $15,000 a year. And so I'm in the same boat that everybody talks about. Mm-hmm. But if you really want quality health insurance and the ability to do the things in life you want to do, you know, you make, the money's there. I make what other people make. That one's always killed me with this stuff, because all the mentoring that I've done in my life, I've seen the families and the people that are in the same boat on them.
Mm-hmm.
It's choices. I mean, you know, you can't spend all the money on something else and then say, I don't have health care. You know, I mean, what's important in your life? One of the kids that I mentor now is at Indiana State.
Right.
She's 19 years old, and her mother she lives with her mother. So I've got her. She's signing up today. So hopefully she's going to get on the program, and she's going to get it. And she's been waiting for it, because she was stuck out there in nowhere land. She hasn't had insurance since she was 18.
Cena and Brian are saying, doggone, I wish we could have had you up there at St. Vincent yesterday with the announcement. But that's what I think what the governor has been talking about all along. Is that fair to say?
That's fair. Or at the negotiating table with the federal government over the past.
Was he making, when he went to the table, when you all went to the table, was he bringing stories like Jerome's?
Absolutely. And you know, this is.
And thank you, Jerome. Great comments. Thank you.
And Jerome's, thank you so much.
And thank you, Jerome. Your story is not unlike others that we've heard over the course of this successful program. And I think at the end of the day, you know, what we have is a proven program that has over 95% satisfaction rate here in the state of Indiana.
And I'm getting everybody I can to sign up.
Thank you, Jerome. We'll take a break. 239-1310. 239-1310's afternoon's name is your opportunity to find out about Medicaid expansion. The president wanted Medicaid expansion. The governor wanted Medicaid expansion. So we got Medicaid expansion. Everybody got with it. The president gets more people through the Affordable Care Act. The governor gets Medicare expansion his way. And the national media will have something other to talk about Indiana doing different things in the positive for once or twice. 239-1310. When we come back, we'll also talk about the paperwork. We'll also talk about acceptance and denial, because over the years I've had people denied from Medicaid. So we'll find out what are there reasons you could be denied under the Healthy Indiana Plan, and for what reasons. What kind of paperwork do you need to have? Do you still have to go through FSSA, or is it more efficient? All that and more. It's after this with Amos after these.
Hi, this is Linda L.C. Clemens, and when I want to stay informed, I always listen to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310, The Light.
All right, welcome back. 239-1310, let me go back to the phones. And Anonymous, hi there.
Hi, how are you?
We're fine, what's up?
I signed up for the Healthy Indiana Plan, but I went to the hospital, and they signed me up for the insurance at their hospital. Medicaid had sent me something saying I was eligible for it, and then they told me I had to sign back up. So when I went back to the place that I signed up at, they said I was ineligible. So I'm just working like part-time, and they said I have insurance through the hospital. So I'm trying to figure out, do I need to sign back up for the Healthy Indiana Plan? Which they told me.
Let me ask you, what hospital were you signing up with?
Eskenazi.
See, I think that's Eskenazi's insurance, which is used to be Wishart Advantage, now Eskenazi Advantage. Let me ask you a question. How many people in your household? Including you.
Two.
Just two. Do you make more than $19,930 a year?
No.
You said yes or no?
No.
Then you are eligible. The other person in your household, are they an adult or a child?
They're adult. He's a son. He's 22.
He's 22, so it's two. Does he, the 22-year-old, have any income?
No.
None?
No, he's going to school.
Oh, he's going to school. Okay, so somebody going to school, 22, no income. Mom's income is less than $19,930. Is that traditional Medicaid, or is that the Healthy Indiana plan? Sounds like it is the Healthy Indiana plan. Am I correct in that, Brian and Sina?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, the way we look at it is if they're not aged, blind, or have some type of a disability or SSI, if they're not pregnant and it's not a child under the age of 19, then chances are they would be eligible for the HIP program. What we're telling people to do, kind of the best way to figure out, am I potentially eligible and where should I apply, you can get onto our website, which is HIP.IN.gov. I'll say that again. It's HIP.IN.gov. And if you get onto our website, you can click onto the piece that says, am I eligible?
Mm-hmm.
And you can put in your income and your family size. And there's a calculator there. It'll say, you may be potentially eligible for the HIP program, and here's how you apply. Or it could say, you may actually be eligible for one of the tax credits that comes
under
the marketplace,
Affordable Care Act.
And it'll divert you there.
All right, anonymous caller.
Uh-huh.
Are you good on the internet?
No, not that good.
You're not that good? Is your son home this weekend, going to be home this weekend? Is he good on the internet?
Yeah, I'll tell him about it. I can't tell you this. They sent me a marketplace paper saying I was eligible. But when I went to the hospital, Eskenazi, the
Whoa, here's the deal. Don't go to, I love Eskenazi. Don't go to them. You with me? And the other thing is, if you went to the marketplace and they said go to the hospital, this program is brand new and is getting ready to get kicked in to the marketplace. So the first thing you need to do, particularly if your son's coming home for the weekend, is get online and go to hip.in.gov. Okay?
So what's the marketplace enveloping?
The marketplace is through the Affordable Care Act at healthcare.gov. That's the marketplace.
Well, and you can also call our 1-877.
Yeah, I think that may be the better. The better is call. Can you write down a phone number? Are you in the car?
No, I can write it down.
Okay, call 1-877. Then the letters GETHIP. Then the number 9.
Got it.
Okay, and then they will help you, because here's the deal. Evidently, the federal government told the governor Friday this deal was going down. So anything that you did 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, it's getting ready to get changed.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
Great. Okay, thanks.
All right, thank you. 239-1310. Let me go to Ann. Hi, Ann.
Hi. I just got the tail end of everything, but I'm listening. I just got signed up through the marketplace.
Okay.
Originally, they told me I would be eligible for HIP, but HIP 2 wasn't available. So they told me to sign up through the marketplace, which I did.
Mm-hmm.
I've just made my second premium payment. Now, what's going to happen? Am I now eligible for HIP 2?
If she's already signed up for HIP, is she now in HIP 2? Is that the same deal?
Well, what I had heard is that she signed up for a marketplace plan.
I've got a plan for the marketplace now.
Okay.
Right. So
let me ask a question. How many are in your household?
Just me.
And do you make more than $11,770 a year?
No, not now. And it kind of caught me in the middle of things because I was working. Then we had to retire early. Then there was a death in the family. So my income really changed. So now all I'm getting is survivor's benefits.
Hmm. Yeah, not SSI, correct?
Not SSI, just survivor's
benefits.
Yes.
Are there going to be some people that maybe the state and HHS need to look at that are kind of in this limbo,
that's
in this
exactly
transition?
Right. It sounds to me like you might actually be eligible for HIP. I would, you know, keep an eye out in your mailbox because we'll be notifying you and you know, and
even though she's through the marketplace, you'd be notified.
Absolutely, the marketplace is going to let us know the individuals that are between 100 and 138% of the federal poverty level who now qualify for HIP, and we're going to be doing outreach to all those individuals to make sure that they come back, come into the Healthy Indiana.
So she could, if you, if the Fed sends you the paperwork and you reach out, she could theoretically transfer her insurance to HIP.
Well, you know, what we would recommend in this situation,
yeah,
what she should do is go ahead and apply for the HIP program.
Anyway.
See if she gets on. I would not do anything with her marketplace plan until she knows she is definitely on HIP. And if she gets a letter saying, yes, we've confirmed you're on HIP, then she can terminate her marketplace plan. But we want to make sure there's no gaps in coverage. So we would advise her to keep that marketplace plan, but go ahead and apply for the HIP program.
All right. So, Ann, the easiest ways to do it is by phone 1-877-GETHIP and then the number 9.
Okay.
Or go online to hip.in.gov.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
But they're going to notify regardless, right?
Correct.
They should, but you know, it's two governments talking to each other, and even though the people at the top were able to talk to each other, sometimes it takes longer to folks down, to filter down. You know how that works.
Yes, I do. Okay.
All right, appreciate
Thank
that.
You.
There's one thing in HIP that we haven't talked about. I want to at least talk about it briefly, and it's something called an employer benefit link. What's that in English?
So this is actually a
new element
of the Healthy
Indiana plan. And the Fed signed off on it.
Absolutely. It's a first in the nation program.
Wait a minute. We're doing something nobody else has done?
But, you know, we continue to lead the way on healthcare reform, Amos.
And the president signed off on it. So he gets part of the credit. Governor gets part of the credit. Okay.
So what this program is, it's actually for individuals who have access to insurance plans through their employer. So, Amos, this population we're talking about, these are individuals who are working. They just don't have enough income to support making a monthly premium payment or contribution payment to their employer health plan. So mm-hmm. what this program is going to do, HIP Link, mm-hmm. is it's actually going to give individuals an account with a set amount in it, and they can use that for the expenses that they would pay under their employer plan. So their share of the cost. So the employer would still pay
the employer part,
and then the individual will be able to use this account. It's a power account. Again, functions like a health savings account. They'll be able to use that to pay for deductible expenses, for any copay amounts, or any premium amounts that are due under their employer's policy.
239-1310. 239-1310 is after his name. Is back the phones in. Tanya, hi there.
Hi, how are you all?
We're fine.
My question was, I wish I could have got a hold of someone doing a small seminar and helping people step by step, but I've been calling on the phone to try and help get my husband some insurance, and it's just pretty much been going nowhere. And then when people call back and doing it online, it's all about, do you want to go back to school? And it's just, it's kind of been haywire.
So wait, what are you trying? Wait a minute, hold on. What are you trying to get restored?
You said get restored. No, I want to get some insurance for my husband.
Okay.
For my job, if I put him on my insurance, I would have no check.
Okay.
So I said, well, you need to get with your own insurance. And he works seasonal for UPS. So my question is, what direction do I go in when the income is up and down throughout the year.
All right, let me ask you this. Just two of you in the household?
No, it is six of us.
Total six?
Yeah.
How many under 18?
The four children.
Okay, so let me ask this question here now. Is your total income from all sources of people in the household less than $43,300 a year?
It is about right at 43,000.
It's right.
I would say 42,000 before tax.
You would be right on the borderline of the HIP program. Okay?
Okay.
So you would need to call 1-877-GETHIP and then the number 9.
Okay, I got that.
Okay.
What if I go over that 43? I'm mistaken on
If you go over the 43, you need to go to healthcare.gov and see what's available.
And just to provide some reassurance, even if you go to the marketplace or you go to the Get HIP phone number to try to apply, you know, if you don't qualify for the HIP program, the state will transfer your application to the marketplace. And if you apply to the marketplace and you're eligible for HIP, they'll transfer the application.
Okay.
So it just takes a little bit longer. If you get onto our website, we have that calculator that tells you, you know, where's the best place to apply first. But, you know, as a backup, they'll transfer your application.
But let me go back to this thing about the employer benefit link. If she's working and has insurance on her job and her better half needs insurance and to add them is high, could this employer benefit link be a help if she meets the income requirement? She's right up there on that borderline.
Absolutely. And we're going to have this program probably up and going over the next 2 to 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
So in the meantime, we would encourage her to apply for the HIP program or marketplace plan, depending on her income. But yes, in the future, that would be an option to her. She could say, I would like to, you know, stay on my employer plan and have my spouse be on the same plan. And she could use her power account or her funds to help pay for the premiums.
In terms of that, and I appreciate the call, in terms of documentation, is it the same documentation to apply for the HIP program as it is for Medicaid?
Correct.
So you have to, that's W-2, what else? Is W-2 other documentation of income?
Yeah, I mean, depending on their situation, you know, they'd want to see, you know, all sources of income, and there would be that documentation. So it does model the same process as you would apply for the Medicaid
when you
program.
Apply for HIP, are you going through an FSSA caseworker?
Yes.
You are. So yes. It is the caseworker, and how important is it? Because there may be some people going through that have never gone through the FSSA system. How important is it to keep track of when you talk to the person at FSSA, get their name, if you don't hear satisfaction going up the chain of command to a supervisor, how important is that?
Sure. Well, we hope our intent is to make it easy for people to apply. You can apply over the phone. You can apply online. You can submit a paper application. And you can also go into one of the DFR offices, which are located all across the state. There's at least one in every county.
239-1310. 239-1310's afternoon's name is We'll Take a Break. We'll be back with our remaining moment trying to answer your questions on Medicaid expansion. Finally, in Indiana, it could add a total of 650,000 people covered by some kind of health insurance. And that's 650,000 more that were covered. That's a good thing. And as somebody said yesterday, that's 1 in 10 of the population of Indiana. That's a good thing. It's Afternoons with Amos on a Wednesday.
Hello, this is Maggie Lewis, President of the City County Council. And when I want to stay informed, I always listen to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310, The Light.
Back to the phones and Anonymous. Hi there.
Hi, I have a question.
Yes.
I applied for Medicaid for my 3 kids, and 2 received Medicaid and 1 did not because she turned 19. And then Medicaid told me to wait on HIP to get approved. So does my 19-year-old apply on her own or under the parents' income?
When did you apply for Medicaid?
About 3 months ago, and 2 of the kids received it, and then I was told my 19-year-old, who is a full-time student, could not because she was 19, and to wait on HIP to get approved.
And so now that you've heard that HIP is in, you want to know how to proceed.
And they made it seem like they would already have her information, and they would transfer it, and it would automatically happen on its own, but...
Do you remember the caseworker's name and number?
No, it was at the Glendale-Kessler location.
It was at the Glendale location.
Mm-hmm.
What if 2 of the people are already on Medicaid, mom and child, and the 19-year-old, would they be considered a separate Healthy Indiana plan as opposed to Medicaid, and does the person have to apply on their own?
Well, it depends on how they file their taxes. I'm assuming that they're filing as a household. So if they're filing as a household, they're going to be considered altogether. So I would recommend, I mean, you probably have some type of a case number. I would call. I mean, it's possible. What we've done is, you know, we were very hopeful that we were going to get approval. So if we thought people may apply, we've been holding on to some of those applications. And so you may be receiving something in the mail letting you know, you know, you were pending, and now that HIP's been approved, we're going to go ahead and make her eligible. But I would suggest go ahead and call in, and if you've got that information, because, you know, if not, then she will need to apply.
Okay, and then I missed the first part of the show. Does this cover vision and dental as well, or just?
That's a good question. HIP, the HIP plan does cover dental and vision, whereas traditional Medicaid does not. Is that correct, Brian?
Well, actually, our traditional Medicaid
does. Okay, I'm sorry.
It does.
Okay.
And so we're actually offering those new benefits in the HIP Plus plan. And
okay.
So if you make that that account contribution every month, then you'll have those vision and dental benefits.
But it sounds like this student, if they're considered a household by themselves, unless they're making more than $10,000-$12,000, they would be under basic HIP. Am I reading that right?
Well, we want to encourage everybody to participate in the HIP Plus plan. So today we're talking a lot about applying for the program, get onto the program. But once you get onto the program, you want to keep making those monthly contributions, making them on time. Because if you don't, what happens is if you're above 100% of the poverty level, you could lose your insurance coverage. And if you're below, you may lose some of your benefits. So you may not have that vision and dental benefits, and you'll start having to pay copays. So it actually could be more expensive for individuals to have to pay copays. So, you know, sign up, apply, and then keep making those monthly contributions.
All right, let me go to Dorothy right quick. Thank you, Anonymous. Hi, Dorothy.
Thank you so much. If you have a death insurance for death, why does that affect if you're applying for Medicaid? Why do they say they want that information and all of that?
So when you apply for Medicaid, they want to know how much death insurance you have pending?
How much it's worth, because you could cash it in before time. But you're old, you're dying, you're not going to cash it, no way.
That's a good question. I wonder why the intake people, I mean, I know they want to know about potential income, but it seems to me if somebody's got a death benefit, you're only going to cash it in when the Lord calls you, not when.
There you go.
I think it depends on what they're applying for. With the HIP program, we're really just looking at your income.
For food stamps? I tell you what, Dorothy, these are not the people in FSSA. These are the people who boss FSSA, because FSSA reports to the governor of the sovereign state. So this is the kind of real world things that the folks in the governor's office really want to know about. What Hoosiers have to deal with, and I'm sure they'll have a conversation, with the folks over at FSSA. And again, if you want more information about that, see, because now everybody's calling because they hear about it.
I know it.
All right. Thank you, Dorothy. See, now they're calling. And see, they call and don't look at the clock. So if they called and looked at the clock, they would know it's about that time that we'll have to have you guys back on. Or the folks from FSSA, once they learn how all of this works. But Sasina Verma and Brian Neal were part of the delegation of folks from Indiana that worked with the Obama administration and the Secretary of HHS in intense, friendly, sometimes... Is it fair to say it was friendly and professional all along?
It was absolutely friendly and professional. I mean, we had our moments where we were, you know, going back and forth on some key issues.
Both of you representing two very strong-willed folks, the governor and the president, that care about people.
But at the end of the day, when states are free to innovate within health care, everybody wins.
And this is a big deal. This is a big deal for Indiana on a number of levels, but on a bipartisan basis. Brian Neal and Sasina Verma. Guys, thanks very much for being with us. Glad to have you.